Hi everyone, my name is Megan O'Connell. I'm here on behalf of the Samueli Institute as a contractor. Samueli Institute is a nonprofit research institute that's really interested in investigating the science of healing. This work was conducted while I was a research coordinator, but I've since transitioned into being a full-time graduate student over at the Bloomberg School of Public Health at Johns Hopkins. So I'm really pleased to be here today to share my team's findings of our rapid systematic review of the impact of mind-body skills on outcomes of stress and anger management educational programs. I have no relationships to disclose. The information I'm presenting today is part of a larger systematic program evaluation of a stress and anger management workshop that's currently ongoing at a U.S. Marine base. The workshop is comprised of both didactic information and experiential mind-body skills, and Samueli researchers are currently collecting quantitative and qualitative evidence on the program effectiveness and working to build capacity for program staff. The Stress and Anger Management Workshop is a two-day, 16-hour program that delivers primarily didactic information on stress and anger management, but also includes a two-hour experiential mind-body session that includes yoga and yoga nidra. This systematic review was meant to support this larger evaluation by investigating if literature on similar programs to this workshop exists, and if so, have they been shown to be effective on stress and anger outcomes? So we went down this path to investigate the literature on stress and anger management programs, specifically looking at the role mind-body skills had on stress and anger outcomes. Essentially, we wanted to look at programs that are the same or similar to the ones that we're evaluating to see if programs that utilize more or less mind-body skills, didactic information, and additional modalities affected our stress and anger outcomes of interest differently. The specific aims of this project were to survey the literature on stress and anger management programs, workshops, and classes, to assess the quantity, quality, and impact of multimodal and didactic-only programs on stress and anger-related outcomes, and to identify commonly used outcome measures to guide decision-making for the program managers of the workshop that we are evaluating. But the focus of this presentation is on the first of the two aims. To accomplish this goal, and to make specific recommendations regarding programmatic content to workshop program managers, we wanted to determine the impact of different types of programs on psychological stress and anger outcomes. Our particular interest was if there were differential effects based on different types of programmatic content. So we separated our data into four different buckets. We looked at programs that were didactic information education only, programs that were information combined with additional modalities, information combined with mind-body skills, and the fourth category was the one that we sometimes referred to as the Cadillac version, and that was information combined with mind-body skills and additional modalities. We defined additional modalities as any component that the component other than mind-body skills and didactic information that was appropriate or feasible for implementation into the workshop that we were evaluating, such as spiritual development or time management skills. We conducted the systematic review using REAL methodology, which is a process that we've developed at the Samueli Institute. REAL stands for Rapid Evidence Assessment of the Literature, and it's a streamlined, reliable, and objective systematic review process that's more rapid. This REAL differs from a traditional systematic review in that we only searched randomized control trials in the English language, and we did not search the gray literature because our intent was to gain a snapshot of the literature rather than conduct a comprehensive, exhaustive search. Our search was conducted in PubMed and PsycINFO, and each article passed through an initial screening phase of titles and abstracts. Articles that met the eligibility criteria then moved to a review phase where we extracted the relevant data and synthesized the quality of the overall literature pool using the grade methodology. And we used this, we used the recommendations from the grade methodology to facilitate recommendations for each type of the four programmatic content areas. Articles were included if there are randomized control trials in English, if the program delivered education on stress and or anger outcomes didactically and in person, and if they reported on at least one outcome, one of our outcomes of interest. Our stress or anger outcome measures of interest were those that measured psychological stress, emotional distress, self-efficacy, resilience, anxiety, tension, coping, post-traumatic stress disorder, or burning. Or burnout. We were also interested in additional stress or anger-related outcomes, including anger, social competency, quality of life, decision-making, risk-taking, and communication. The stress and anger management workshop that we were evaluating is a multimodal program, so we wanted to look at studies that would that were similar to this program that would not only provide feedback regarding similar programs, but also give insight as to whether modifications to this program would be beneficial. So we included multimodal programs, meaning they combine didactic information with a mind-body scale or an additional modality. And we included these programs only if they had components that were appropriate or feasible for implementation into the workshop, and if they used mind-body skills that were the same or similar. So on this basis, we included programs with breathing, yoga, yoga poses, yoga nidra, sitting meditation, progressive muscle relaxation, guided imagery, and general relaxation techniques. Articles were excluded if they did not meet these eligibility criteria, and we additionally excluded programs that were explicitly therapist-led, such as psychotherapy, or ones that were required dependence on a device, like biofeedback. We excluded programs that incorporated lifestyle modification, such as explicitly modifying the diet or the exercise of the participants, because the stress and anger management workshop would not have the resources or capacity to support these elements. A total of 537 articles were generated from the database search, and of these, 497 were excluded. We included 40 articles at the review phase, but two of these articles reported on more than one program of interest. So ultimately, we had 43 programs of interest that we were reporting on. You can see that our programmatic content areas included 15 information-only programs, 16 information plus mind-body skills programs, 4 information plus additional modality programs, and 8 programs that included everything, information, additional modalities, and mind-body skills. Following screening, we assessed the quality of the literature during the review phase using the SIGN 50 checklist. The SIGN stands for the Scottish Intercollegiate Guidelines Network, and it's a valid, reliable, and widely used checklist for assessing methodological quality of studies. We modified the SIGN for our study to fit our research question. For example, certain criteria such as blinding of investigators to treatment allocation were not evaluated because they weren't relevant to our research question. Each individual study was assessed and rated as well covered, adequately addressed, poorly addressed, or not applicable for these criteria. And we were really interested in seeing to what extent an appropriate and clearly focused research question was addressed, that randomization processes were adequate, the groups were similar at baseline, outcome measurement was standard, valid, and reliable, dropout rates were reasonable, intention to treat analysis was used, and when studies were multi-site results were comparable. The following descriptive data was extracted for each of the included studies: program name, description and content, mind-body skills if applicable, program delivery, length, study population, control or comparison group, relevant outcomes and outcome measures, results, authors' conclusions, effect size, and adverse events. The final phase of this process was to perform a grade analysis, which is a systematic, transparent way of evaluating the literature as a whole based on the quality of the individual studies. The grade describes our confidence in the estimate of the effect and the safety information for each type of intervention. GRADE stands for the Grading of Recommendations, Assessment, Development, and Evaluation. The first component, confidence in the estimate of the effect, is scored from A to D, and it's an indication of how confident the reviewers are that the recommendation would change with the introduction of new literature. A grade of A indicates that further research is very unlikely to change our confidence in the estimate of the effect, and is based on several high-quality randomized control trials with consistent results, whereas a grade of D indicates that any estimate of effect is very uncertain, perhaps based only on expert opinion. There is no direct research evidence, or maybe one randomized control trial, but with very severe limitations. We modified our grade slightly to show the granularity of our results. The quality of our literature pools were very similar, so in addition to the A through D grading, we also used a plus and minus scale. So our results. Based on the signed 50 criteria, the majority of the 40 randomized control trials were high quality, with 3 studies of the highest quality and 9 poor quality studies. In each programmatic content category, the majority of the articles were consistently rated as high quality, with information and additional modalities and mind-body skills as the category with the highest percentage of high quality literature. Regarding significant effects of our outcomes of interest, as information and experiential mind-body increased, we thought that we might see a dose response for this. While you can see that 57% of the information, additional modalities, and mind-body skills were significant for all of our outcomes of interest, and a good portion of them were significant for at least some of our outcomes of interest, the information-only category showed similar results. So this trend did not necessarily follow what we expected. Our grade analysis showed the overall quality of the literature pool to be good. Our confidence in the estimate of the effect size for each category was rated as B, representing moderate confidence in the current research, but stressing that additional further research is likely to have an important impact on the overall literature and may change this estimate. A moderate grade score of B is generally associated with a literature pool that includes at least one large, very high quality RCT or several RCTs with only some limitations. Common limitations among our data were inadequate reporting of intention to treat analysis, randomization procedures, or dropout rates that were high or unreported. We were unable to calculate, unfortunately, the magnitude of the estimate of the effect in all but one group. This magnitude of the effect for the information and mind-body skills is reported as large, but it needs to be interpreted with caution because it's the average of only 3 out of 16 studies. Unfortunately, that information was not generally available, and it was the same story for the safety grade. Only 2 of our 40 randomized control trials reported on adverse events, so we didn't have that data to report. Overall, we provided a weak recommendation in favor of each programmatic content category. Although there were methodological limitations in some of our studies, the subsets of literature were high quality and reported favorable results for stress and anger-related outcomes. In conclusion, we saw that an increase in information and mind-body content was not necessarily associated with a dose response, and that robust positive results for stress and anger outcomes were found in programs that utilized a package of mind-body skills in combination with didactic information and additional modalities, as well as in programs that utilized information alone. positive but weak recommendations were made in favor of all programmatic content categories, and future studies should include larger sample sizes, sounder methodological procedures such as reporting of randomization processes and intention to treat analysis, and reporting of safety information and effect sizes. While many studies exist describing the positive benefits of alternative techniques for stress and anger management, more data is really needed on the use of these techniques in stress and anger management educational programs, workshops, and classes. The information is useful for decision making and would allow program managers to make informed choices on programmatic content for stress and anger education. If you have any questions, you can address those to Don Wallerstedt. And thank you very much.